Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more, so smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome back to More To It, the show that takes a deep dive into the biggest stories in sports, entertainment, and culture. Start with headline news and then journey to deeper conversations, always finding those life lessons that are presented in every single story. I'm your host, Marcel Swally. That dude.
Oh, I got that vibrant energy, that vibrant thing. You know why I got it? Because it's the first day of school for my itty bitties. And for the last 2 hours, my house has been quiet. And it hasn't been that way for the last few months. Oh, my God. Let's get into it, y'all. Now we start off every show, what's up with that dude? Well, what's up with that dude is I got love for you guys. So I always hook up with this book, Never Shut Up. Got you guys. It could be Friday Swag Away. It could be Everyday Swag Away. Depends on what you do. Go to projecttransition.org, donate, or just enter your email into the sweepstakes. I know how your checking and your savings may work. Maybe like, dawg, I ain't got a dollar. I ain't got $5, whatever it may be. Or I might donate my time. Or I might donate my talent. Or, like I said, make a donation. Donate your treasure. Three T's, they call it. Time, talent, treasure. We all got them. You donate what you can. Also, you can win this. And I found, you know what? Somebody tried to call me out. I was like, dawg, you ain't got that many jerseys. I said, all right, I'm going to start bringing one out every day. Look at this sucker here. Woo! That's that OG, but that ain't the fresh part. This is. That's that one that he wore when he won a three-point contest and didn't even take it off. How you going to win a three-point contest? What a damn jacket on. Woo, Larry Bird was silly. Oh, man. So I got love for you guys. We got concert tickets. We got winners for our Chargers tickets coming up this weekend. Got a draw for that. Tons of stuff, man. Got love for you guys. Just go to projecttransition.org and figure it out. All right. What else is going on? Found another location for our pickleball social. What is that? In short, we're going to be having community events. We're going to challenge everybody to pickleball. So it's going to be free for y'all to come out. And then we're going to have party, you know, DJ, drink, hydrate, chill, make it a whole social event. Trying to bring community back, man. Everybody got to rally around something. So got to have everybody out there showing love. Look forward to that. We found another location. So that's great. I'll let you guys know details going forward. But it was cool. I saw a lot of kids playing tennis. And pickleball, but tennis. A bunch of like teenagers, youngsters, and two of these girls out there. Woo! They might have to make some noise out there because they look Coco Golfish. It was good. So just letting you know, there's some little ones out there, some itty bitties trying to make some work. What else happened yesterday? I ate perfectly. Speaking of tennis, ate perfectly yesterday. I mean, perfectly. You know, chicken kebabs with just veggies and just chicken or all grilled up. Perfect. Perfect. I mean, I was starting to feel flat. You know, you just start feeling muscles tighter. skin tighter, like I got collagen all in me. And then next thing I know, U.S. Open on. I'm watching Shelton and Tiofo. How you say his name? Tiofo? Two or four. I'm going to call him two or four. But anyway, I'm watching them, right? And damn it, I just had to get into the zone, had to get into the moment, had to snack on something. I smashed 7 small bags, y'all. 7. You know those small bag of chips that they give them little kids when they on lunch trips? You know, they be going on their little field trips and at lunch, they be... I smashed 7 of them. So I might as well just have one big ass bag. Messed up my whole day, but today is a new day. Other than that, I told y'all it was first day of school, so I was getting MJ ready. He still got sand in his hair from our trip to Laguna a week ago. I'm like, damn, boy, do you ever wash your hair? He like, no, that's your job, daddy. I was like, oh, okay, you're right. But he still got sand in his hair. And I decided to get him real hype. So he goes to the games already. He goes to the Charger games. But my daughter, this is her first year. She's 4 years old. It's time. She listens well enough. Not perfectly like MJ. MJ listens. She getting there. So point is, I'm going to get her going to the games this year. She's going to the Chargers-Dolphins game. So I said, Araya, you know what's happening on Sunday? She said, no. I said, you're going to the Chargers-Dolphins game. She said, yay. She said, Dolphins? I said, yeah. She said, yay. Then I was like, wait a minute, we Charger fans here. But I was like, all right. She's like, yay. She's like, MJ. And they just start hugging and dancing in circles. He was beating her up. She was beating them up. I was like, y'all ain't playing. They on the field. We in the stands. They pumped. And guess what she said? I was dying. She said, yes, MJ, I get to swim with the Dolphins. I was like, this girl, need to get her out the house more. Oh, man, it's her first game, so I think she'll enjoy despite not being able to get wet and swim with the Dolphins. MJ clowned her, too. He was like, we can't go swim with the Dolphins. And she's like, oh. He was like, we're going to watch them play the Chargers, and they're good. They got Tyreek Hill. He's the fastest NFL player in the league. And I was like, oh, God, these kids just be going off. Don't y'all study at school? Nah, they be talking about the game. All right, y'all. Got to switch tone. Got to switch gears right here. Because all this itty-bitty talk took me to this story right here about Hugh Douglas and Hugh Douglas's son killed in a tragic car accident. Man, so I know Hugh Douglas, played with Hugh Douglas, a friend to this day, still in contact with him. Obviously, I send him some love and send him some strength. But the toughest thing is, where this takes you, I know, as anyone who's sympathetic and empathetic of his situation. Okay, so we know who Hugh Douglas is, just a beast on that football field, 4-point stand himself. And it's crazy because also we lost another NFL player, actually, former player, and NFL wide receiver Mike Williams. He died at the age of 36 in a construction accident. And Mike Williams from Buffalo, where I played as well. He played for the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So condolences to him, his family, and rest in peace to him. All right, let me get into this because this really struck me. Single vehicle car crash. Him and one of his classmates, his roommate actually, killed in the accident. All right, so they both go to Morehouse. They were both students there. Class of 2025. Actually, Hugh was taking some courses up there as well, pursuing a business degree. All right. And he's a radio host. Everyone knows him at 94 WIP. Okay. Let's talk about the accident, tragic loss, and the tributes are pouring in. When I saw it, I was like, single car accident, hit a power pole, flipped over. Okay. Do you know how defeated you must feel? Like, I don't want to put myself in Hugh Douglas's shoes, but I'm forced to in the human connection. Because when I'm raising my family, I'm always thinking, and as I tell you guys all the time, death is just something that really, really just defeats me every time. Like, every time I hear of a death, every time I think of a death, I think of my own mortality. It just defeats me. Nothing else does. It's weird. I'm not scared of living in life. No part of it. No part of it. Scared of dying and scared of when I hear of death. So in this situation, man, it's crazy because you're Hugh Douglas. You have a son, track star, they say, going to college, making his way. all those moments that you poured into him to just make him a person of character, let alone a student athlete, let alone a guy pursuing his own dreams, making his own name, despite still having your name, Hugh Douglas. And it's just how random life is. As I was talking to a friend this weekend, we were talking about her father was one of the victims in a mass shooting and was the first victim. And literally this is how it went for her father. Went to work, opened up the door, guy runs in, point blank, bow, gone. That's it. Makes me think of what's the rhyme and reason to life and our existence. Hugh Douglas has a son, goes to college, talking about him all the time, checking in on all the time. Hey, we bonded. We even going to the same school to take some classes, right? And then just randomly driving, car accident. I've been in car accidents. You've been in car accidents. I've been in a car accident going 140 miles an hour before. Didn't feel a thing. Lost his life. Roommate loses his life. Not trying to ask the meaning of life, but boy, the randomness of life sometimes, man, really just defeats me. Like, really gets tough, gets discouraging. But the thing about it is, the only lesson I can take from this is appreciation of every single moment I have and the moments we have together. The moments you have with your family, the moments that you really share. You know, we all take it for granted. All right, see you later. And then sometimes you don't. And you guys know I was affected by losing my childhood friend through a car accident as well. So drive safe, guys. I understand there's no perfect way to drive because there's other people driving and we're not perfect beings, but texting and driving, drinking and driving, obviously, but people do it. Sleepy and driving, whatever it may be, man, just be alert on that road. And more importantly, just be appreciative of those with you, those around you, and all of us at large. Because, man, woo, nothing worse than no more, no more life. Yay, yay. Hey, projecttransition.org, keep donating. I'm watching you guys. Thanks for the support. I mean, any amount. I ain't tripping on that. Just the support is what matters to me, the time, talent, treasure. So go to projecttransition.org. You will be sent one of these books because I pick sweepstakes winners. That's right. Friday swag away, everyday swag away. And check Project Transition Instagram if you want to see all these winners. They out there for real. And got this jersey for somebody. Straight out of Jersey. It's that dude. It's that man. It's that bird. It's that plane. It's Superman. All right, y'all. Let's get into the Undisputed and Skip Bayless and the whole crew. The Avengers cast, as they call it, right? And the feedback. How was the feedback for them? I thought it was overwhelmingly positive. Obviously, it's a mixed bag. There's still some negativity in there. I ain't watching that show. I don't watch that show. I don't mess with Skip. I don't mess with Skip. And then some people, Skip's the GOAT. He made Stephen A. He made Shannon. You know, all that. But the point is, they went through their first week all good. All right. Some people, here's some of the criticism. Y'all need a Molly Karen. We need a moderator. Skip, I love you. Not the moderator. You're not that guy. Even when Rachel came on, they thought she was going to be it. Nope. She in there to talk the talk. Discuss and debate like the rest of them, right? So, you got Sherman, you got Keyshawn, you got Michael Irvin. You saw Acho. I didn't see it, but Acho was on there. I'm waiting on Nick Wright. Has he been on yet? No, Nick Wright's supposed to be there. Shady's supposed to be there. Has Shady been on yet? Y'all got to keep me up to speed, man. Keep me on my toes. So a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. Skip was super prepared, super uber hyped, he said. He said his anxiety was high because he's never had that much time between shows, so he was hella prepped. But more importantly than that, all these new faces was taking him out of his old way, his old form. His new role was making him feel uncomfortable, he was saying. And it was like, wow, really? I know he was uncomfortable only in one space, the moderating part, you know, reading the prompter. Skip's not a prompter guy. Skip's a notes guy, right? He gets his notes, bangs those little pieces of paper on the desk because he got that Mountain Dew in him, and he talks that talk, right? But this time he had to talk and make love to that camera. And it was a little different experience. You saw that. But here's something that was interesting that people were really picking up on. And tell me what you think about this. So Undisputed led after Labor Day on a Tuesday with a LeBron James topic. Okay, LeBron James versus Michael Jordan debate day after Labor Day. And a lot of people found that boring or less relevant. Like, come on, dog, right now? You know, timing is everything in life, right now? All right, so you got at that time topic choices, and this is going to be interesting because we're going to talk about how you build a show. I'm going to show you guys how you build those shows, how we build this show, etc. You got Deion Sanders and Colorado, who stole the weekend, obviously, and that big win against TCU. You got Clemson losing it all against Duke on TV. You got Florida State destroying LSU on TV. Then you got week one of NFL. You got to sprinkle in like the forecast of the season. You got all those intriguing storylines and things going on. And they said, nah, B, LeBron versus Jordan. Okay. Now, you also had that Deion interview that everybody was talking about, Pat McAfee's as well. Nope, not going there. You got time to gain some ground on ESPN. They got beef with Charter. And people can't even watch through ESPN. Coco Gauff couldn't even watch the U.S. Open because it's on ESPN, and her hotel was beefing with Charter and ESPN, etc. So there are a lot of questions about the editorial choices on shows and why do shows pick certain topics. Let's start here. There's a meeting ground between what's your sweet spot, what you are really excited about, what you really are well vested in, what you really have great genius about. There are certain things that just are your sweet spot. And then there are certain things that are just the sweet spot of the viewing audience, right? Y'all out there, for whatever reason, like Lakers, like LeBron, like Cowboys. And I say for whatever reason, it's not just because they're great, because they're not always great, right? The Lakers weren't always great. There were dead times, and they still were leading shows, right? So it's situations like that. But you know, when you talk about a great player, either it's his rise, either it's his greatness or it's his fall, his descent, all of that's going to always be consumed by you guys, especially the higher they are and then the greater the chance that you're going to actually respond to them, right? So it's basically that. But it's a meeting ground because it's not always viewers win. Sometimes it's the host wins. In this situation with Skip Bayless, it's going to be 99 to 100% of the time Skip Bayless wins. So if Skip Bayless wakes up, wants to talk LeBron, wants to talk Jordan, damn it, no matter what is going on in the world and who cares about it, he cares about it, and that's where they're going. But I think it was a little more to it than that. This was intentional. He has a cast of characters. If you look at him right now, you're trying to debate his cast. If you're trying to give a game plan to his cast, you would say this. A little weak on the basketball side, right? Only because compared to the football side, you got two Hall of Famers and then Keyshawn, who was damn near a Hall of Famer. And you just got a lot. Then you got basketball. You say, oh, well, you even got reporters over there, Josina, et cetera. Got Acho. And you say, basketball, who you got? We got Rachel Nichols. And then you're like, all right, well, Josina kind of cancels her out. No, a little bit, whatever. Who else you got in basketball? Nothing? Well, it ain't basketball season. So why are you talking about it? So that's the point. So this is how they build shows. And Skip builds his show way different. It's, you know, early whiteboard and Skip's topics. And, you know, he's getting his hot list from everybody. And this is from the days when I worked with him. Things may have changed, maybe new versions, but here are the bones of it. And then you got the topics up there, and it's pretty much going to be the same topics. I think we all collectively know what's going on in the sports landscape, what's viral, what's hot, what's interesting, and what lends itself to future shows and viewing. Like the NFL is the gift that keeps on giving, right? So it's smart to always throw in a future NFL topic, who's going to win this Sunday, et cetera. Because then you could talk about it from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You get the point. But on Skip's show, it's interesting because he really wants to talk certain topics. And not talk them in a certain way. Do you, boo, boo. But I want to talk about them Cowboys. And I want to talk about LeBron. And you're sitting there like, I don't have much on, I mean, I've said it before. Everybody said, I ain't got much on LeBron. Yeah, well, What do you think about LeBron or Jordan debate? You're like, from what, 2011? Like, what year are we doing it? Right now? Like, are we going to wait till he retires and then we're going to debate him? Retire to retire? Like, what are we doing? And that's the thing. So, Skip's not punking anybody. It's just, you got that uncle or that granddaddy that just like his song. Like he like his down home blues. Down home, no matter what occasion, everybody thing but the down, he gonna play that song all night long. Like, it don't matter birthday, it don't matter. It can be a barbecue, it doesn't matter. Your graduation, down home blues, and he gonna do his dance. And that's Skip's show. And that's how it goes. I hate that part, that feeling of not being able to be like, come on, man. You know this ain't the time for that. And it actually coming to fruition, coming to light. That was a little bit of the issue with Skip and Shannon. It was just like that control. Like, at the end of the day, he got the quarter for the jukebox. You see all the songs. He see all the songs. Why you going to put in a wop dabba loop bop a wop bamboo tootie for like, come on, man. Like, come on, man. You ain't going to play nothing else. But it's his show. He can do what he do. But I know people sit back. I know people watching that show and on that show sit back, because I'd be getting these texts and they'd be like, dog, I can't call it. So that's how that goes. On this show, it's a little different, and that's why I'm enjoying this a lot more. Look, what I'm trying to do is simple. I'm not trying to be the one that says the same stuff. So that means our topics should be different, or our approach to the same topic should be different. I think we should also talk about the entire sports landscape. That includes shows, that includes personalities, that includes the athletes, the teams, etc., all the transactions. That includes when someone, a former player, loses his son, we should discuss it. You know, like, because that affects you. Whatever. Like, and the goal of this show is not to be First Take, Undisputed, not to be Pat McAfee or Coach JB, like, et cetera. It's really to just be like, dog, how do you watch sports? And how does it impact your life? And how does it intersect with your life? Okay, now let's just talk about that. Let's discuss it. Let's just go at it like that. Nothing more, right? It's going to make its money. You know, we got sponsors and stuff. It's going to make its money. We're on Brinks TV, Reese TV. People see me everywhere. I see a lot of screenshots, a lot of videos, a lot of reposts of me. Wow, I saw you here while they're there. Yeah, we're going to make money. But at what cost are you going to make that money? And this is a lane that I think you guys keep riding with me, supporting me, keep telling me what you love, what you don't love, that we're going to refine so that we all can feel that community again. Without playing pickleball, damn it. Just talking that talk. So topic choice, construction of the show, and then we just break it down, man. We're just going to discuss. I wanted to have, you know, when I first left, I was going to do all these theatrics and lights, and big screens and stuff. I was like, keep it simple, stupid. Like, people want to talk. I love my days on radio with Max Kellerman, with Kelvin Washington, with Travis Rogers, etc. I just love talking, dog. So let's talk the talk, because we're going to walk the walk. So here's the thing. What would you give as advice, not only to my show, but to Undisputed and the First Take? It seems like the topic choices, certainly on Undisputed, you were like, yo, you can remix that, dog. Here's another quarter. Put another song on, right? What would be that constructive criticism you give the First Take? Also, just want to know, after a few episodes, how you think it's going over there, Undisputed? Like to know. Can't watch them all. I got to prep for my show. I got to watch my show. I got to do my show. I got to do my work. But at the same time, just want to see what y'all think about Undisputed. It's a hovering book. Damn, you see my hand? All right. Go to projecttransition.org. That didn't work. You get this book, man. I'll hook you guys up. Just enter a donation or your email. Just join the team. We got the movement going right now. Today, I'm going to East LA College. Going to talk to those kids and bring them into my mentorship program as well. Yes, you guys will support the mentorship program. Starts off, I go to schools. I speak to the entire school. After speaking to the school, guess what? Give them books. After they get books, then they sign up to be in our database, but also our monthly check-ins. We check in. We have these big old Zoom sessions. We talk through life for real. And then we incentivize them with prizes to do better in school, to continue to do great in school for those great students, and to be great people of character in the community. After that, then we give them scholarships. All of that is happening because of you. So support us. All right. And then when you support us, I hook you up with these kind of jerseys, right? Shoot around jerseys from Larry Bird. Damn. Your boy got love for you. All right. Speaking of shots and getting some shots up in the shoot around, look like Russell Wilson is getting shot at by his coach. He ain't hating, but his name is Sean Payton. Boy, that rhymes for a reason. Man, he had a quote. He went at Russell Wilson. Let's talk about this whole situation. All right, so let's backtrack. You know, in the summer, Sean Payton gets there. Now, he got Russell Wilson, franchise quarterback, making buku bucks. And you know you stuck with him. And I don't mean stuck in a negative way for Russell. Just like y'all ain't going, he ain't going nowhere, you ain't going nowhere. All right, so we together. All right, from that point, you're trying to do your evaluations. And Sean Payton, I think, came to a summation that, all right, there's something I can salvage in Russell Wilson, obviously. But I got to get him back. And I got to get him back in a myriad of ways. Watch this. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to blast everything around here. I'm going to shoot it up, bang, bang. Shoot them up, bang, bang. Ah, shoot them up, shoot them up. Where that from? Everybody know. I'll see them next month, too. You can as well. I'm going to hook y'all up in a swag way with that one. So he just start blasting everybody. The organization, pop, take that in the foot. All right, he started looking at the former coach, and he was like, oh, man, you did one of the worst coaching jobs in NFL history. Nathaniel Hackett, pop, take that, right? Got at him. Teammates, everybody. It wasn't just Russell who had dirty hands. All y'all, the scheme, everything. Pop, 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 pop. And then he saved the last part of it for Russ. And here we go. We are here. Why? I'm going to tell you why we're here after I tell you what he said. He had a very blunt comment to Russell Wilson. He said that Russell needed to stop focusing so much on Russell Inc. All right. He said, will you fucking stop kissing all the babies? Oh, shit. You're not running for public office. I'm going to say that again. Will you stop fucking kissing all the babies? Woo! You know what he's saying, basically? I tried with you, Russ. I tried. I tried to clear the path for you. Try to get all them people out the way. Try to say it couldn't be all you because you were too good and too great for too long for you to be that sorry like we saw last year. You know how sorry he was? His worst completion percentage ever, 60.5%, only 16 passing touchdowns, and a passer rating of 84.4, all career lows. All right, can't be you, not fully. It got to be something else. So he tried to clear the path for him. But I think he came to the realization that Russell first has to want to get saved because Russell is really intent on growing his brand, growing his legacy, growing Russell Inc., right? No secret. All right, so he got a greater prize in mind than just winning the Lombardi again. It's to be Russell Wilson. All right, that's fine. But when you got larger ambitions than winning and you ain't winning, we got problems. All right, so let's talk about that. Now, the problems came because he came in there with that reputation. He franchise quarterback, former champion, et cetera. So, former champion. Always a champion, right? I'm a former champion because I ain't never won. Let me stop. So to make matters worse, what got him all caught off was that his first year in Denver, he got all those perks, all that freedom. You know, he got the office. What else he get? He was allowed to bring people from his own coaching staff, own staff, had a workspace, etc. He was doing all that politicking, they said, with Roger Goodell always sitting in his suite over there chum-chumming over peanuts with Roger Goodell. People looking at you like, all right, bro, you better slow down. So it's interesting. His former agent, And his current agent talks about Russell Wilson. And they always talk about how he wanted to be bigger than football. He said it wasn't about football and baseball with Russell. It was about legacy. It was about a foundation. It was about businesses. It was about coming, owning a team someday. All right. It was about building an empire. Okay. Now, here's the problem with building an empire. When you build an empire, it's how do you build the empire? Nothing wrong with building an empire. Tom Brady got an empire. Jay-Z got an empire. Like, you know, athletes, entertainers can build empires. It's how you go about building it. And here's the problem with Russell Wilson. Coach always said, don't come to work. Don't come to practice on a red carpet. And I think that Russell forgot what was first. Your brand, your legacy is built off of the product you produce. And you keep producing winning product, you're going to have you an empire. Simple as that. But a lot of times we get out of that phase, we get out of that lane, we get out of that building and that progression, and we start to try to just build the empire instead of building it with the blocks we were given, which was Russell Wilson at quarterback. Russell Wilson destroying it at quarterback. It becomes now Russell Wilson at event. Russell Wilson purchases company. Russell Wilson sells clothes. And it's like all those things are cool, but are we still building it block by block based on your performance at quarterback? That's when it goes wrong. That's when it goes awry. So Sean Payton is just basically, I'm telling y'all right now, he already tired of Russell Wilson. He already tired of his BS. He already looking at him like, dog, are you really that caught up? Want to know why? Because he took out everything else and still looked at Russ. And looking at Russ in practice, looking at Russ in the preseason game, is like, come on, dog. It got to be in there still. Lock in. And if you're not locked in, then sooner or later, trust me, the Broncos and Sean Payton going to lock you out no matter who you are. So let's get through this, man, because there's one criticism that I have to just give it to you raw, like they said. It was from Kyle Brandt, who said that one of the least authentic personalities we have in this league is Russell Wilson. Now, we know who Kyle is. He's on Good Morning Football. He says, you know, I worked the NFL honors, and here comes Travis Kelce, and Aaron Rodgers comes by. But Russell Wilson shows up with his sunglasses and his wife, and I think that they think they're Jay-Z and Beyonce. And they will literally put their hand up and say, no, we're not talking. Why? Because you think you're that cool, you're that famous, and everything is so perfect. That does not work in the locker room unless you're really good or you're a really, really good guy. It doesn't work. He broke that down. I've seen this before. Not from them, but I've seen this. I'm good. I'm bigger than y'all. I'm better than y'all. I'm badder than y'all. Whatever it may be. And that works only one way. You actually are. But if you're, and no one likes it. So when you are not going to be that big, that bad, oh, we going to smoke you. We bringing you down this hill fast. But while you up there, you killing it, you dropping them hits, you winning those Super Bowls, you winning the MVPs. I hear you, big dog. Yeah, respect. So Russell Wilson is not in that place anymore, but still carrying on like that. It's funny because this reminds me of, like, to kind of give the balance of this conversation, not to put it all bad, Russ. I remember when I was DJing, and I DJed from rookie season on. Rookie year doesn't count as a mulligan. I'm a second-round draft choice behind Bruce Smith. What do you expect? Shoot, you shouldn't have drafted me here. Draft me somewhere else you expect me to play. Right. You know, and Phil Hansen too damn good, too. He just ain't got the same name as Bruce. I ain't getting on the field that much, but I did. So I was on borrowed time, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it was all love. I was playing with house money almost. And then I start playing really well. And then really well. And then all right. And then kind of. And then And then guess what they start saying? He's distracted. That damn DJing. Mother sucker. I was DJing when I was balling. But now that I ain't balling, the DJing's a problem. So here's the one thing I will give as medicine to Russell Wilson to this situation. Russell Wilson been acting like this. Oh, yeah, he been into them like red carpets. He been into them kind of streets. And now y'all gonna trip on it? Well, we know why. Because the end justifies the means. And at the end of the day, you are a quarterback. But right now, the way you playing, not the type of quarterback that Sean Payton wants. Woo, that's gangster. So tell me what y'all think about this situation. You think they gonna have a happy marriage, Russell Wilson and Sean Payton are heading to divorce and heading there fast, like most marriages. Oh, man, you think Russell Wilson balls out this year? Let me know in those comments. And how you think Sean Payton gonna coach? I mean, if your quarterback ain't good, good luck to you. But how do you think he's gonna coach this year? Yes, I always got this pretty face. Oh, we got that face. Go to projecttransition.org, help the community, support your boy, support the foundation, Project Transition, so we could go develop that power within and amplify it for the world to see. That's what these itty bitties need. That's what we're doing. Also got this. I just hook y'all up. I don't care. I don't care. Y'all gonna be in the mother mouth. Where that from? Somebody, I said that before, nobody guessed it. Y'all better go in them comments and figure that one out. All right, let's figure out Travis Kelce's knee right now. Damn it. All right, so the latest is he's dealing with a bone bruise, right? So we went through the steps of the ACL was intact. It was a hyperextended knee. Now there's a bone bruise. And bone bruise, for those who have never had a bone bruise, it's like, what that mean? How's he going to play? How's he going to look? Is he all right? Well, let's talk about what a bone bruise does to you. The impact to you is simple, swelling. Woo, you look down, wherever you bruise, swollen. Why? Because there's so much trauma in that area, and especially deep, because it's a bone bruise, the trauma in the area, all the blood flow is going there to heal it. But it's only going there to heal it because it's messed up, and that's the problem. So, I don't know specifically of this situation, but having teammates before and being in the locker room, training room, you can drain the knee. Now, you're not wanting to get into that cycle, because everybody I know that ever had their knees drained kept getting their knees drained, and it didn't end well. But that's part of it, like to take some of the swelling out, take some of that fluid out. Fluid, you can drain it. But now you're going down a slippery slope, because you got to think, how much natural time do I need for this to heal properly and naturally versus trying to accelerate it and maybe skipping a step? Maybe that's not the right way to say it. It's probably rushing it. And now it's not happy. And nothing worse than having an unhappy knee. That sucker there, woo! Talking about being midpoint between your flexions, right? Your flexions. All athletes are judged on this scale. The flexibility of their ankles, their knees, and their hips. I'm telling you, you want to see a bad athlete? Of course, you got to be strong and you got to build muscle on top of that. Blah, 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 blah. I'm talking about, you talking about the base of an athlete, the great ones? Oh, they flex them ankles. Them ankles like that. That knee could go, whoa, and then that hip go, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then you got a Barry Sanders. That's how you get it. But if any of those stiffen up, Achilles injuries, ankle injuries, Steph Curry, right? Kevin Durant, that's why he had to take so much time off. Now he's back. You know, knee issues. We know thousands of guys who have the bad knees, right? Just not the same. Hips, mess up the hip. Bo Jackson stuff, like, oh, God. You mess with those flexion points, you got problems. Can't mess with this right now. So they've done the test. Now they play tomorrow night. They play Detroit. And look, his brother even came out and said, look, he's dealing with a knee, a ton of swelling, and some bruising are the concerns. So that's what Jason had to say about it. Even Andy Reid confirmed that he suffered the hyperextension, but now the new news is, where's Nunu from? Y'all got to tell me that one. New news is, she was so fine, godly. The new news is that he is dealing with a bone bruise. Okay, so the point spread already shifted for you gamblers out there, you degenerates. I'm playing. I love it, man. We're going to be doing some gambling on this show, too. Take y'all money. Went from -6.5 to -5 in favor of the Chiefs at Caesars Sportsbook. That was before even this news came out. So, how long will Kelce be out? I don't expect him to play. And if he is playing, let's just say he ain't feeling much. Goodness. Shoot him up. Oh, yeah. That's what's going to have to happen. But If he stays out, we're going to have to find some replacements to him, and not just in physical. I'm talking about replacement in terms of game plan. We're going to have to change this, alter this. And I've said this. They are a Travis Kelce injury away from not being a dynasty. Now, they're a Travis Kelce injury away and a Chris Jones missing because he wants a new contract away from being a dynasty. Patrick Mahomes is great. We'll see how he performs. I got to see how they do in a passing game without Travis Kelce. But remind you that Andy Reid, all those years in Philadelphia, only had like 1,000-yard receiver, T.O. that time. Everybody else, 800, 900. Andy can get it done with anyone. It rhymed for a reason. So what do y'all expect of the Chiefs? What do you expect of Travis Kelce? Expect to see him in the game? Bone bruise? Nah, B. I mean, sometimes you just got to wait. Sometimes you take a step back to take two steps forward. All right, y'all, speaking of us going forward, it's time to funk up some comments. Funk up some comments, yeah? All right, let's talk about Jay Williams. My thing is, what's up with Jalen? Man, I said Jay Williams. He kind of disappeared. Wonder how much that old beef he had with Skip had to do with him not being looked at for Undisputed. Well, it's not basketball season yet, and you never know. He may still be in the fold. Never been a fan of Jay Will. He's one of those who defends current players no matter what. He defended KD to no end, and it was laughable. Well, I could defend KD, too. KD top 10 all time. It ain't that hard to defend him. Golly. I can't vibe with someone who is incapable of being objective. Okay, I get that point. Also, people need to stop acting like guys like Jay Will are going broke or will have a hard time landing a job. People acting like multimillionaires are victims. It's absurd. Well, it's not that. It's just like people are like, yo, you lost your job. And you didn't really lose it on merit fully. So no one likes that. I don't care how much you're making. You're making $3 and you lose your job. You're like, damn, that sucks. And you really feel bad for that person because you're like, damn, you need that $3. But then you're like, and they fired you for no reason. Like the reason is kind of suspect. You know you'll feel some way as well. Okay, let's move on. Shannon, Skip, Stephen A. Shannon and Skip in early days was the best duo for me. Shannon was very comfortable being himself, and that was fun. I think he grown to the point of having his own show. Yeah, I seriously want to see him have his own show, but I guess Club Shay Shay is his own show. But Club Shay Shay about whoever else was on the show. That's why I don't do a lot of interviews. Not because I'm so vain. It's because it just becomes a show about them all the time. And I'm like, let's talk about the topics, not you, not me. Let's talk about it. So, you know, I want to hear Shannon. What's Shannon thinking? So I thought it was going to be every single time. Okay, here we go. Before the rot set in, Skip deferred to Shannon on many topics and let him be himself for the majority of the time they were together. Up until the end of last year, it seemed that they had a very good trust between them. Even this year, they still work well together. That's what I saw over the years anyway. Stephen A. Smith is starting all of this, reminding everyone that he is in charge and Shannon is a subordinate. I see it as a bit sad. Shannon should not need to be shown as a junior that has been rescued by Stephen A. Smith. Thank you. I just caught that. I was just like, Shannon, y'all the same age? I'm like, all right. Shannon, you done did your thing. You done did the thizzle, brother. Like, I just felt like it was like a huge, like, dynamic of pecking order. All right, well, if Shannon allowed it, then what am I tripping off of? But I saw it, and I was like, I don't know about that. WNBA bonus. First, they need to contract the league to reduce the number of teams and players, which would improve the quality of the product on court. Okay, I said don't expand it. You saying let's retract it. All right. Second, they need to figure out what their fan base is and market to them rather than trying to be a female version of the NBA. In the world of racing, IndyCar and F1 are both open-wheel racing leagues, but marketed towards different fan bases and corporate sponsors. Third, to lower operating expenses, they need to practice and play in G League facilities whenever possible. Fourth, they need to acknowledge they have an image problem with the athletes carrying themselves like late 90s, early 2000s NBA, which prompted the crackdown by Stern and established codes of conduct. Fifth, they really need to lower the rim. Women's softball doesn't try or play on men's baseball fields, and the product is pretty good. So lowering the rim will go a long way toward making the product more appealing. Man, you broke that down. I ain't got nothing else to say. Like, come on, man. These fixes are right here. Right here. The fix right here. Who said that? Oh, man, come on. Like that one. Especially the image stuff. Like, golly. Just have a workplace conduct and ethics look and code of conduct. Like, stop looking like that. Stop acting like that. And I ain't talking about like not being yourself. I'm saying like be professional for the game and lower the rim so they could dunk and all the above. But hey, what do I know? All right, y'all. Y'all know how we finish every show. We finish with a Wileyism. Yeah. Impossible is just an opinion. That's right. Impossible, just an opinion. Sound like Deion Sanders just proved that, right? Impossible, just an opinion. Y'all down. You're 20 point underdogs. You're never going to beat TCU. Never going to beat them. Yeah, all right, boy. You better watch that. Man, how many things have you done in your life that people say were impossible? I play that game with my son all the time, like the impossible game. And there are some things that are impossible. Like I tell him, you go on that roof and jump off. That's going to be impossible to You ain't living that one, bro. Sleep, night-night. Oh, he done. Now, if you threw a cat off that window, cat going to look at you like, fool, what you thinking? You know I got this. But impossible is just an opinion. Like, people usually speak from a perspective of what they have experienced and what they expect of themselves, right? Everything else is impossible. So if I ain't seen it done, I ain't been around it, and I don't think I can do it, or I don't think anybody could do it, you can't do it. That's impossible to them. And I thought of impossible would be more of an objective word, and it's sad because it's really used in such slanderous ways that it throws kids off because they think you're objectively saying impossible. What you really are saying is, like, that's hard as hell to do. You need to start walking around saying, man, that's hard as hell. That's it, but impossible? Oh, that's impossible. And kids, they hear that, and they take that to heart. And it's pretty sad, pretty damning. So just look at your life. Look at all your receipts out there. And how many got impossible stamped on it? You know, for me, there was no impossible. There were like, you dumb as hell for doing it or trying it. You a weirdo for trying to go to Columbia and play football, you know. Being a nerd kind of met a lot of resistance. And then after that, dating all them girls, that wasn't impossible. And I was coming. And all my boys be like, man, you dating too many. I was like, I tell all the truth. So I have nobody, no one has ever thrown a drink in my face because I've all said, hey, it's a you problem messing with me. You problem. That's all it is. But no, in all seriousness, guys, just know. Don't let nobody talk you out there, gang. Don't let somebody try to Deion Sanders you and you ain't going to do it. We coming. Just let them know, as Deion says, we are here. So no matter what's going on in your life, it could be probable, it could be hard as hell, it could even seem impossible. But remember, though, the whole root of this, how that word is spread around, is because people were saying it, and that makes it impossible. It's just an opinion. All right, y'all. That'll do it for More To It. Check the show notes for all the information on our topics today. Today! Want to keep the conversation going? Let's talk. Find me on all socials at Marcellus Wiley. More To It is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, Dad Dude Entertainment, and Workhouse Media. The show is executive produced by Dan Patrick, Marcellus Wiley, Paul Anderson, and Nick Pinella. Thanks for all the love, ratings, and subscriptions, and reviews, membership to Wiley's World on YouTube. Keep it coming, because there's more coming from More To It. Talk to y'all hella soon.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now